Would you continue to pray with me? Lord Jesus, you come to love us where we are. You come to love us with all of who you are, so that with you we can come to the Father by the power of your Spirit and ask and pray and present our request. And our prayer now is that Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you would come and be with us. Move among us, move in us, open ears, transform minds, set hearts free, bring reconciliation in relationships. Do the work now and here that only you can do, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so we pray as your people, we pray with all the faith and the love and all the hope we have. And we do it in your name, Jesus. And together we say, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Easter is a day. And Easter is a season. And beginning on Easter Day and throughout this Easter season, I've been telling you that there is a greeting appropriate to this day that fits this season. And since that day and throughout this season, I've been imagining and inviting you to imagine greeting each other with that greeting on aisle three at Food Lion. From one end down by the vegetables all the way to the other end at the meat. Christ is risen. And somebody responding from the Y on the treadmill. He is risen indeed. Those gospel words come close to saying something like, love is stronger than death. And invite you to respond with something close to or very similar to or like, love never fails. I don't know about you, but I need someone daily, weekly, moment, season in, year after year, Food Lion, the why. I need other people greeting me with those good words to remind me, to rehearse with me, to convince me that God loves me, that we can love each other, and that through us, God can fill the world he loves with his love. If you need that same help, if you need to be reminded, if you need to rehearse it, if you need to be convinced that God loves you, let me invite you to lean in and listen well and listen carefully to John chapter 15, from verse 9 to verse 17, because this too is God's word. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you'll remain in my love, just as I kept the Father's commands and remained in his love. I am telling you all of this so that my joy might be in you and your joy might be complete. This is my command. Love one another as I have loved you. No greater love has anyone than this, than they lay down their life for their friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and I have appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. So, whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give to you. Just remember the command, love one another. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Word by word, and line by line, word by word and line by line. Any great literary scholars out there know where this comes from, word by word and line by line. When Sister Bear asked Mother Bear in the Bernstein Bears how she's going to remember all the lines in the part in the play that she's going to be in, Mother Bear, in all of her wisdom, says you're going to learn them word by word and line by line. Word by word, line by line. Every week when I come in here at the beginning of the week to try to get the words of Scripture into my heart so that they come out of my mouth, I learn them word by word, line by line. One rule in addition. Don't move from the first word to the second word until you have the first. Don't go to the second line until you have the first line. Don't go to the second paragraph until you know in the depths of your bones the first paragraph. The way to learn anything is word by word and line by line. I'd like to apply the wisdom of Mother Bear this morning with you to our scripture passage. I want us to hear this scripture word by word and line by line so that when we leave, we are ready, willing, and able to go out into the world that God loves and love our neighbors and our enemies with the love that God is. So how are we going to do it? Word by word and line by line. So listen just to the first three lines. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. Some translations say just as, just so. So now, hear it again. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. Word by word and line by line. What was the first word? As. As is a little word that says a lot. As is a descriptive word that tells me about how something is done. How something is done, how anything is done, how everything is done. Summertime in the mountains. As the Father has loved me, in the same way the Father has, as the Father has loved me. If I was to ask you, how has the Father loved the Son? You might tell me a story, give me an image, or use a descriptive word. As the Father has loved me. If you wanted a story, you couldn't do better than going to the beginning of Matthew, Mark, and Luke. When God so loves the world, he sends his Son into the world to lay down his life for the world. It all begins when John the Baptist is preaching. And we hear these words, when everyone was being baptized, Jesus too was baptized. And as he was praying, the heavens were ripped open. And the Holy Spirit descended on him like a dove. And a voice said from the heavens, "This is my Son, the one I love, in whom I delight." Or, "in whom I am well pleased." When Jesus begins the long laying down of his life, when Jesus comes among people like us and gets in line and goes into the water to begin to do for us what we cannot do for ourselves, the Father sees it and the heavens are torn open. How does the Father love the Son? Ecstatically, ripping open the heavens, pouring out the Holy Spirit that comes on him bodily like a dove. And God does three things with his word. He claims his Son. This is my Son. He is fully present to him in love, the one I love, and he looks on him with delight. If you want an image for that, Jesus says in John 15, you can think of it like a master gardener caring for his very best vine to produce the absolute greatest fruit. If you want an image for that, you can't do better than a square dance going on right there in the waters of the Jordan. The Father dancing with the Son through the power of the Spirit, splashing around in a puddle like those kids yesterday at Holston. Dancing with delight. If you want an image for as, how the Father loves the Son, you might think of living water like a spring that can't be stopped, that overflows, that crashes down the side of a mountain and lands in a pool that shakes your feet and leads you to worship. As the Father has loved me. You can tell a story, you can give an image, you can use an adjective. How has the Father loved the Son? Infinitely, eternally, patiently, perfectly, purely, super abundantly, unrestrained and unrestrainable. As the Father has loved me, so, Jesus said, so have I loved you. With a love that is infinite, eternal, perfect, pure, and patient, superabundant, unrestrained, and unrestrainable. If you want an image for it, you might think of your favorite comforter. You know, some of you have really nice down comforters. They sell them on 105. I promise you what the salesperson will promise you. They're never too hot. They're never too cold. They're always what? Just right. They're Goldilocks comforters. They're available on 105. If you want an image for how the Son loves you, it's like the holy comforter. Never too hot, never too cold, always what? Just right. If you want a story, begin at the Jordan where Jesus begins that long laying down. Go all the way to Calvary where it's complete on the cross. Follow him into the tomb where he breaks the power of sin, defeats the devil, and breaks open the doors of death to show you once and for all how much he loves you, both now and forever. As, so, what's the third word? Now. Now remain in my love. Some translations use the word abide. Some say make your home. As the Father has loved me with an infinite, eternal, perfect, patient, pure, superabundant, unrestrained, unrestrainable love, so have I loved you with an infinite, eternal, perfect, pure, patient, superabundant, unrestrained, unrestrainable love. So remain in that love. About 10 years ago, maybe a little more than a decade ago, the Gatewood went for a family vacation with family, which can be really risky, but the rewards are also sometimes really high, right? We went to the hill country in Texas, and we stayed by a creek. And we fished in the morning, and we swam in the afternoon. We filled our bellies with Mexican food. We filled our days with golf cart rides. It was so good. About the fourth day, Thomas looked at us and went, why would we ever leave? Why would you ever leave the house of love where you are given a love that is infinite, eternal, perfect, pure, patient, superabundant, unrestrained, and unrestrainable? Why would you ever leave? And yet, what does Jesus have to tell us? Now, remain in my love. I think there are two big reasons Jesus not only invites us into that love, but tells us to remain there. The first is this: he knows our orphan hearts. He knows that we live in a broken world with broken hearts where lots of things tell us that we're not loved, or we're not loved yet, or we're not loved until we're good enough and we've done enough. I think Jesus knows our hearts. I think he knows they're broken. I think he knows we live in a broken world, and he knows we need to make our home in his love so that we can savor it and soak in it and let it seep all the way down into our hearts and begin to transform the very core of who we are. As so now. Now remain in my love. Make my home. Make your home in my infinite, eternal, perfect, pure, patient, superabundant, unrestrained, unrestrainable love. We need the command because our hearts wander. We need that command because our hearts are broken. And we not only need the command to do it, we need a command on how to do it. And if you're a man who loves to get things done, this is the part of the sermon you are really invited to listen to. Because Jesus not only tells us to remain in his love, he tells us how to do it by obeying his commands in the same way that he obeyed the Father's commands. And what's his command? Love one another as I have loved you. No greater love has anyone than this, that you lay down your life for your friends. And just so you didn't miss it, what's the last word he leaves in your ear? Love one another. Jesus tells us to remain in his love and how to do it by sharing with others what comes to us through him from the Father. Jesus is inviting us to remain in his infinite, eternal, perfect, pure, patient, superabundant, unrestrained, unrestrainable love, to receive it and then to share it. Love one another. And sometimes it's so easy and it's so sweet. Think about how easy it is to love a baby when they're just so peaceful and quiet and they're just, Image of God in your arms, right there to be held and caressed and loved. A friend walking through life with you, you connect, things are in harmony. You like the same things, you love the same things, you don't love the same things. There are times when it is easy to love your friends and to give up some of your time, some of your money, some of your resources, some of your space, and some of your control. And then what? And then there are times when it is not. Someone steps on our toes or triggers our anger. Someone pokes the wound, rips off the scab, and in that moment, you know you need the command. The word that comes from the word made flesh that tells you, despite your anger, despite your impatience, despite your laziness, despite your loneliness, love your friends. Love your neighbor, love your enemy, lay down your life, because no greater love has anyone than this, that they receive from me and give to others. That's a lot of receiving and returning. That's a lot of receiving and sharing, isn't it? First from the Father to the Son, then from the Son to us, then from us to our friends, our neighbors, our enemies. The whole of the world, that's a lot of movement. On the back of your bulletin, you'll find a quote about the way God's love moves. The glory of God is always found in movements of love and communication of life. Never in static routine, cramped piety, thoughtless repetition of official acts, conventional observance, external religious acts that could easily become the letter that kills, the continuing tyranny of the old sinful self. The Spirit, by contrast, is wind, fire, light, water, glory. The unexpected, the transforming, the self-communicating, the self-outpouring power that shapes by embracing and not letting go. When you remain in God's infinite, eternal, perfect, pure, patient, superabundant, unrestrained, and unrestrainable love, when you remain, it is not like remaining in your pew. It's not like remaining on the couch. When the dynamic dance of God's love sweeps you up and moves into your heart, it moves you out into the world. Which is why Jesus, in one paragraph, brings two words together that we don't think about going together: remain in my love and go. I have appointed you to go. To go and bear fruit that will last. Fruit that comes out of love, like joy, peace, and patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. Jesus tells you to remain and to go. To remain in a place of receiving, go always giving. Remain in my love, go and bear fruit. And if all of that sounds too much for you like it does for me, at the end of this sermon, you need to hear one promise. The Jesus who loves you, who goes to the cross to show you the depth of that love, who's raised from the dead to come to you and call you by name, says this: when you receive my love and you go to share it, anything you ask in my Father's name, in that great quest of love, He will give it to you. Which means if you're like me, distracted and insecure, occasionally angry and sometimes depressed, the very first thing you might need to pray for is a deeper experience of God's love. Because let's be honest, we feel our distraction and our anger in a way that's a lot more concrete and controlling than we do the love of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And you know the only person surprised at that? You. God's not surprised by this. The God of the universe knows our broken hearts, which is why He tells us to remain in His love, to keep on receiving that love, to go out and share that love, and along the way, ask for what you do not have. Ask for it boldly. Ask for it freely. Ask for it over and over and over again. Because our hearts need to be reminded. We need to rehearse this love. We need to be convinced of this love so that we can share this love. So, as you go and you do not feel what you want to feel, and you do not believe what you want to believe in, and you do not trust in the one who is trustworthy, lift up your broken heart to the one who loves you. Jesus promises that when we come like that, wanting to be loved and wanting to love, the Father gives us what we want. And one of the great gifts He gives us is the person sitting on your right and the person sitting on your left. The one behind you and the one before you. The one who can love you, who you can practice loving, who can go with you. We need each other. And part of what God delights to give us is a people who can love us, who we can love, and together we can love God's world. Let's pray. Father, You ripped open the heavens to speak to Your Son, to claim Him, to love Him, to convince Him of Your delight. You know we need to hear that we are Yours in life and in death. We need to experience and feel Your love in new ways. We need to know that You see us and You delight in us. And it is Your joy to not only save us, but to shape us and send us. So have mercy on us, we pray. In Christ's name, amen. Amen. So when God loves the world,